All right, I am Haggai Davis III, along with Haggai Davis II, and we'd like to welcome you to Tech Gumbo. Our show is a conversation about the past, present, and future of all things technology that we like to keep topical, interesting, and digestible. We want to thank our sponsor, Cardinal Capital, for making this possible. Cardinal Capital connects businesses to capital. It doesn't matter what business that you are in, Cardinal Capital has the resources all across the United States that are willing to help fund organizations of all sizes, life cycles, categories, and locations. Cardinal Capital works with you to craft the best commercial finance package for you to achieve your business goals. Whether you're looking to refinance current debt because of the new government programs and favorable interest rates, or finance new equipment, or maybe you're trying to acquire another business entirely, Cardinal Capital has the resources to make it happen. When lenders cannot do a loan, they seek out Cardinal Capital to help. The Cardinal Capital guys are easy to work with and fun to be around. Contact them today at 225-308-3700 or send them an email at info@cardinalcap.net, and they'll be happy to help you with your commercial finance needs.
So each week we take a listener question. We love it when our listeners go to our website, techgumbo.net, check out all the different things available on the website, and one of those is the tab for the question of the week. You can go to that tab, drop in a question. If we use your question, we will send you a Tech Gumbo mug, that big, beautiful 20-ounce ceramic mug. And this week's question is, can you recommend a good backup solution for my PC?
Yes, we can, actually. This is something we used to do a lot more of, and we haven't done it quite as recently, but we definitely have some options.
Yes, for a long time, we used the phrase 3-2-1. You want three copies of your data on at least two different formats and at least one to be offsite. And it's still good advice.
Yeah, there's nothing about that advice which is really wrong or changed. Maybe just the exact formats have changed.
Yes, and back in the day, you could back things up to a CD or to a Blu-ray disc or something like that. Well, nobody has those discs anymore, so that's not really an option. And even using, you know, USB drives, because more and more businesses are disabling USB drives, that's really not a good idea. And USB drives are not going to hold as much data as you really need. So that's not a good solution anymore either.
Yeah, you're really coming down to cloud storage at this point in time. Maybe it's a network attached storage. Maybe it's not truly a cloud, but that's basically where you're looking at this point in time.
The idea of, okay, I'm going to have an external hard drive sitting next to my computer and I can replicate over to that, that's fine. But if the house burns down or something really horrible happens, or if somebody just damages that external drive, or if you damage that external drive trying to do a data transfer, those things do happen, then you've really kind of messed up your backup. The best thing to do is to have an offsite backup, some type of cloud storage where, yes, keep a local copy if you want. The NAS, the network attached storage, is a really good option. But because if your computer crashes, and having an on-site copy will make restoring your data the fastest. But if your computer gets corrupted, if you get malware, if you get ransomware, and it's on that network attached storage, both devices are now compromised.
But that's why we have the 3-2-1, is that level of redundancy, that level of backup really helps insulate to make sure that even if a flood happens, even if, you know, someone spills coffee on the wrong piece of hardware, you're going to be okay.
Now, some people will try and use email to back up their important documents and emailing things around. That's really not a good system. If you're trying to keep a file or a document, but not everything, because inboxes just don't give you that much storage space. So the best thing to do is to go find some of the different offsite cloud backups. Carbonite is just a really good one. They've been around. They're one of the oldest, longest, best systems. I use that for my 88-year-old mother's computer. And I've had to rebuild her computer multiple times because she does click on everything and ransomware does happen or malware does happen. And something like an iDrive or Carbonite or any one of those is really, really good and relatively inexpensive. So that would be my suggestion.
I agree.
So thank you for that question. We will be sending out that Tech Gumbo mug. If you would like one, please do go to our website, techgumbo.net. Submit your question. If we use it, we'll send you a Tech Gumbo mug.
So it's been a little while since we've done our second segment entirely on AI and on the future of generative AI. And the field just keeps evolving, keeps roiling. And so we decided that this would be a good time to come back and revisit it.
Yes, our friends at OpenAI, their GPTs, the ChatGPT and DALL-E and all of those things, they're getting a lot of spam basically inside their systems. A lot of celebrity impersonators. They've got bots that are doing things that just you don't want to happen, and it's getting inside their system and really, really confusing these LLMs.
So what it is that OpenAI has a store wherever you can buy access to their servers, and then you can build stuff on top of that using their APIs. And so what's happening is that people are buying access, and then on top of the traditional ChatGPT, they're shifting it or they're training it to sound like Joe Biden or like Donald Trump or like Taylor Swift or like Elon Musk or just any large personality who has a recognizable voice, both an auditory voice and both their words that they choose, their manner of speech, all those types of things. That's what's being replicated here. And it's really not a great sign for this technology that one of the most common uses of it is, what if we were to just recreate celebrities?
And the bigger problem is that ChatGPT does not want their celebrities or prominent political figures to be recreated that way. They don't want you to be able to create a video of Joe Biden shaking hands with Abraham Lincoln or Donald Trump shaking hands with George Washington. I mean, that's not what they want you to do. They don't want you using either of those personalities on their videos that they're creating. They want you to use your ideas and your images that you're creating, not taking somebody from the public view.
Yes, they've also said that they are concerned about how human-like that some of these LLMs can be. They've intentionally kept it below a threshold because otherwise it would feel too real. And that there have been experts inside the field who work at these companies who said if they just removed the safety pin, then these would become romantic partners. That's, OpenAI and Google and Microsoft have intentionally prevented these from becoming the next dating app, but it's only a choice that's being made. The technology is already there. And so a lot of these companies are really making sure that what we have is not too human because we're not ready yet.
Another thing we're really not ready for is the level of cybersecurity that the AI threat has just really ramped up. The way that these threat actors have begun using AI and they're creating their LLMs that are not ChatGPTs, they're creating the malware versions of ChatGPT, and it will write code to create malware and ransomware and create spam and phishing emails that are very, very convincible. And it's creating real havoc in the cybersecurity world.
Oh, yeah. It used to take time and effort to write convincing spam. And it used to be one of the hallmarks of a phishing email was that it was poorly crafted because they were trying to weed out people, that they wanted you to have to be gullible in order to go along with it. But now that they can sit there and churn out large numbers of realistic looking, plausible sounding, well-constructed spam, then their pool of targets is just dramatically grown.
So later this summer, the Paris Olympics will be happening, and Interpol has a full cybercrime division, and they are really, really ramping up. They are so worried about all of the number of disruptive attacks that they're going to be faced with, and the amount of effort that they're putting into how to protect it is extraordinary. And they have said there's only about 70% completely effective across the five major categories right now, and they're concerned that they're nowhere ready.
This is just going to be an ongoing problem, though. Every large major sporting event or even just general event is going to have both physical security and cybersecurity. When the World Cup comes to America in 2 years, when the Olympics comes to America in 4 years, all of these major events, because they're so global, they're so visible, there's so many different people from across the planet who are coming here, it just is a giant target. And 20 years ago, we worried about the physical attacks, and we still are. But now the ability for digital attacks and cyber attacks to further cause havoc is just increasing.
The ability for these companies, these cyber criminals, to create havoc and to create their malware using AI, it has made them that much more efficient and made the good guys, the cybersecurity industry companies, work that much harder. And I mean, it's just the continued arms race of how close can we get to them? The bad guys are going to still stay at least one step ahead of us, but we're catching them. And every time we get close, well, then they pivot and do something a little bit different we weren't expecting. And then we figure that out. And so it's just a cat and mouse game that goes on and on and on. It's not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, and a lot of people have asked, well, you know, the bad guys can use AI to augment their job, maybe even replace their job. What about me? I'm just a random person here in America. Is AI coming to take my job?
This is an interesting question that everyone has been really, really talking about a lot, especially over the past 14 months now that we've had ChatGPT in the wild. And the easy answer is not yet. The realistic answer is it's probably not going to take your job. AI is going to change your job. AI is going to become a tool that you will use more and more of in your job, but you're still going to have your job.
One of the big things that really is right now preventing AI from really plowing its way into a large portion of the corporate workplace is the fact that LLMs are only probabilistic, which means they'll usually give you the right answer. They'll probably give you the right answer, but that's not what we want. We want them to always give us the right answer. Whenever I go into a spreadsheet and I type 2 + 2, the spreadsheet is always going to tell me 4. Google Sheets and Microsoft Excel will never make strange mistakes. If I got an error in Excel, it's because I made the error, not Excel making the error. And that's just not true for LLMs. They make errors in and of themselves that can be really tough for us to parse. And so it means that you, the user, are not handing a task off and then getting the answer back. You're working with this LLM to find the answer together.
This generative artificial intelligence it's really about the white collar labor that this has everyone the most concerned. If you're out there swinging a hammer, turning a wrench, your job's fine. But let's say you're that attorney that you've been practicing for 20 years and you're at the top of your game. Is AI going to come after you? No. Now, are you going to have Google's Gemini or Microsoft's Copilot? Because, oh, by the way, ChatGPT has passed the bar in all 50 states. Are you going to have it draw up a contract? Here's the parameters. Here's what I need it. This between this organization and that organization. Draw up that contract. And then you're going to have to review it. You're going to have to spend time making sure all the details are right. And so did that maybe your law clerk doesn't do it as for you the way ChatGPT does? Yeah, maybe that changes. But you also used to have a secretary a long time ago that the secretaries don't exist because you have a computer that does everything. So yeah, it's going to change some things. It's not going to replace things.
Not yet, at least. We will get to a point in time at which you're able to input, here's a user interface, and you click the buttons and you talk to it and you say, oh, you know, I want this and I want that. And you need to make sure that you're thinking about this thing over here and it has to tie in over there. And it'll do all of that. And you just come behind and review it. Again, we're not there yet. But even other things, a large portion of being a lawyer is just document discovery. That you're handed giant boxes of, they turned over all their records and you have to go through them and find stuff. Well, that's something wherever you could run the LLM through all of that, if it's emails or if it's actual Word documents as opposed to pieces of paper. And then, you know, it'll flag stuff and it'll come back and say, oh, I noticed this irregularity here. You should go look at that. Again, you, the human, will still have to go back and look at that to make sure that it's an irregularity and to understand, oh, why is it that the amount of money that they actually spent is different the amount of money that the receipts show? And that's where, you know, you find and prove fraud. It's not good enough to do that and won't be good enough to do that for a while. That's kind of, you know, that process of this is a tool that you're working with for now.
Because these LLMs are still 85 to 90% accurate. How many of your clients, if you're that attorney out there, are going to be happy with a 10% error in the contract that you did, or a 10% error in the negotiations you did for your clients? That's just not acceptable. Now, do humans make mistakes? Yes, absolutely. But you don't make up things the way ChatGPT has been known to make up sources, create Washington Post or New York Times articles that didn't exist as a source. And so when you factor in, this is why you, the human, are still so important. That's why we need people and not these LLMs to do everything.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's legal work. Legal work we think of as very rules oriented, very much about the technicalities, about the details, about the intricacies. It's also important that we have this type of thinking with art, that you have OpenAI has created Sora, their video platform. They have not released it yet, but Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, has had to sit down with Hollywood executives and say, no, don't worry. We're not coming for your jobs. Do we believe him? Nah, I don't know about that.
You know, when you consider how much entertainment we view nowadays that's on YouTube that was not created by Hollywood, that a lot of people, not you and I, but watch TikTok videos that were not created by Hollywood. There's so much content being created that is not generated by Hollywood. When Sora is finally released to the public and the content can be that much better than what it is now, I can understand why people in Hollywood might be concerned.
Yeah, and I think another portion, one, you're speaking to the fracturing of our attention, which is already a major problem. But two, if I want to go see a big budget, you know, something wherever there was a lot of time and effort put into it, you do still have to go to Hollywood. They do have a unique product that is not replicable, but that looks to be one of the things that Sora could do, is that with if you get good enough at the prompt generation, at the engineering, and maybe you take some of the videos that come out of Sora and you just put them into the Adobe software and then you combine two different photo editing pieces of software. But still, OpenAI's premium package is $20 a month and the Adobe suite is $16 a month. If you and two or three friends spend 6 months, could you make something that is Hollywood quality? Maybe. And that's terrifying to the people who have millions and millions and millions of dollars staked in this entire industry.
And we want to thank General Informatics for sponsoring our show. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission. And that mission is to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. General Informatics is a premier IT managed services provider, delivering exceptional managed IT solutions to a diverse base of customers. GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business's strength. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need new IT services, new technology, or you just have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com. And if you enjoyed our show today, we're here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4, and the show will rerun Sunday at 4. If you missed any part of our show, or you would like to hear any of the previous episodes, check out our podcast, which is available on most every platform. And when you're there, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified every time a new episode is posted. If you like our show, if you have some suggestions or want to submit a question, let us know by visiting our website, techgumbo.net. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.